Isaiah chapter 50.
After Psalms.
Isaiah chapter 50, just a little bit past Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Almost there. So Isaiah chapter 50, we're going to read verses 4 through 9. Yes, just a little bit before Revelation.
After Genesis.
If you can't find it, grab a hymnal and just open it up and look intelligent, or try to. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. We'll read these responsively. I'll read the even verses. You'll read the odd verses out loud with me. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. Let's begin. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, and I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. And let's pray. God, we do thank you so much. Lord, it's been good to be in your house already. And this, Lord, today, this morning, and also here this evening. Thank you, Lord, for your people. I ask you, please help our hearts to be open. And, Lord, would you do something miraculous in our hearts, Lord, that we would have a new light. And, Lord, just a new purpose for our life. Jesus, I ask you, please be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open to Isaiah chapter 50. I'm going to get myself situated here. Hang on. There we go. Going to try this way tonight. Amen. Boy, does that feel much better than this morning. Have you ever been to that part of life where it seems like problem after problem after problem comes to where you're just about overwhelmed? Has your heart ever been broken so much that you felt like you couldn't get any help? Have you ever felt so all alone that you felt like you were marooned on an island in the middle of a busy world? Do you ever feel that nobody truly understands how you're feeling and what you're personally going through? Here in Isaiah 50, it's being written, the Bible says, to someone, listen, who's the child of a divorced set of parents. Look at verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Whoa. God's talking to a person who's been through their parents divorcing. Now look at me. You talk about lonely and hurting. Divorce is hard. Divorce is hard on everybody, but probably the hardest person divorce is to children. The only two people that they know how to love and are supposed to love are at odds with one another, and they're supposed to get along with both. They're torn. They're torn between the love of a mom and the love of a dad who don't love each other but supposedly love them. And they're just torn apart. They feel like a ping pong ball, spending part of their time with one, part of their time with another. They don't know how to feel because one's talking bad about the other and vice versa, usually, not always, but usually. And divorce is hard, but it's probably hardest on children. Everybody in life faces hurt. Did you hear what I just said? Everybody in life faces hurt. Everybody faces problems. Everybody faces those times of nobody understands. Everybody, by the way, everybody's going to face times of loneliness, whether you're married, have children, or not. You'll feel lonely at work. You'll feel lonely as you rise in leadership. Say why? Because nobody is in your position. Brother Hiles used to say, the higher you go in leadership, the fewer people there are around you. Being on top of the mountain's great, but there's only room for one person at the top. He used to say, he'd tell the preacher boys, he said, look, if you're in this for a group hug and for everybody to love you, you better get out now because it ain't going to be that way. Boy, was he right. And the ones that want to group hug you, you don't want to get hugged by, amen? Because every one of us are sinners, we are all going to face these things. They're all part of sowing and reaping. Now, listen to me very carefully here. I don't believe for a moment, let me say this. I don't believe for a moment that every bad thing that comes into your life, God planned it. That's stupid. I don't believe every bad thing that happens to you is the judgment of God. Now, there's times you get out of line, God's going to smack you upside the head. But you're going to know when that happens. Everybody doing okay? You're never going to have to wonder if this is God judging me or not. If you have to wonder, it's not. I never wondered when my dad corrected me if I had done wrong. Everybody doing all right? It was very clear. I had crossed a line I shouldn't cross. When you cross a line with God, it will be very obvious. You're not going to have to wonder, is this a judgment from God? Those people try to sound spooky and weird and religious. And I don't trust them. This spooky Christianity stuff is for the birds. If you step out of line far enough, God's going to say, get back in line. He's going to say, yeah, first, and if you don't, then he's going to whack you upside the head. And then you're going to say, ooh, that's smarted. I better get back in line. But you're going to know that it was God. Now listen to me very carefully. Don't you think a perfect God could do better than what this world has? Man messes it up. It's man's sin. It's not God's fault. Man sins. And there is sowing and reaping. I know God can do better than Nancy Pelosi. I know God can do better than Ding Dong Kamala. But can I tell you something? Sin causes that. Now, this is much the same as saying our good works can save us. Our good works cannot save us. Our lack of good works can't keep us from heaven either. Let me just, everybody look at me for a second. I get a little tired of Christians judging everybody else's salvation. Who made you God? Well, their life doesn't show it. Show me in the Bible where their life has to. God says he'll take a tree and purge it. It doesn't quit being a tree. Just because it needs purged and it's not producing as much fruit, or sometimes not at all, doesn't mean that it's not a tree. Before you start saying, well, by their action, wait a minute, God doesn't judge our judge us that way. God said if you get saved, you got saved. Now, some falls on stony ground, some falls on good ground, some gets choked out, some doesn't grow. I get it, but it's still saved. Quit judging people by how you see it, because probably you need better glasses. There's no scale that shows us how much good has to be done to prove our salvation. Everybody doing okay? Now, God's will was not for man to sin. God did not make us wanting us to sin. Man chose to listen to the devil and man sinned. He got out of God's will to do what the devil wanted. Everybody doing okay? But God's also not going to come and force you to do anything. Brother Scott, there's days I wish God'd come down and grab me by the back of the head and say, hey, do that. It would be a whole lot easier sometimes. Yeah, I know you could. I'd have to grab you by the back of the shirt because you ain't got nothing back there to grab onto. But may I say something? God doesn't force us to be robots. Be careful thinking that unity means everybody being the same. That's unification. That's communism. That's Kamalism. It's not God's way. God did not make us to be robots. Amen. He made us with our own personality, with our own ways. He wants us to submit to the principles of the Word of God, but it shouldn't change necessarily totally who we are. Now, there are some cases we need to change what we are. God didn't make you to have a short fuse. God didn't make you to run your mouth all the time and be angry and cause everybody else to get upset. God said, fix that. But he made your personality. That's good stuff, and that's another sermon. Hang on. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yes, sir.
Now, God does not sit at a great big control board like the Wizard of Oz, controlling everything that takes place. That's a Catholic teaching that's wrong. That's what they want their Pope to do. I wish we had Pope on a rope, amen? You see, God doesn't control every event of your life. God can if you let him. But may I say something? There's sinners still involved, so it's not going to come out exactly the way he plans. Just like I have a plan from the Word of God, what Grace Baptist Church is supposed to be. Do you think it always turns out exactly the way I have it planned? No, there's people who weren't here this morning I wish were here. There's people not here tonight I wish was here. There are people tonight need the sermon I have, and they won't get it, and then they're going to continue to struggle and say, but preacher, what do I do? If they showed up to church, I wouldn't have to repeat the sermon to them. I'm not mad at them, but it doesn't go the way I plan. I get to lead it, but I don't dictate every little thing that happens. I'm here to make sure somebody's not going to make a big mistake. I'm going to make sure I've got enough leadership and training underneath that it's not going to all fall apart. But I didn't ask Brother Lopez what he was going to preach in junior church this morning, but I made sure Brother Lopez was here. Everybody understand that? I didn't pick out the songs we sang in the services today. That's Brother Anthony's job. I didn't pick out who did the specials today. That's his job. But I made sure we had what we needed to get done. I already know what the orders of service are for the next two services. He and I have met a couple times over it. Matter of fact, we met a couple months ago, if I remember, the first time. Say, why, preacher? Because I wanted to make sure when we had the special services, everything was running just right. But I don't control it. Now, listen to me very carefully. All the Sunday school teachers have outlines to teach for Sunday school. I know churches where the pastor doesn't provide Sunday school information, and Sunday school teachers have to choose whatever they want and come up with their own information to teach. I think that's a little dangerous. I do. Besides, if we're all teaching the same basic topic, when families go home from church, they can talk about what they learned in Sunday school. Amen. And everybody's kind of on the same page. So I like it that way. I approve every nursery worker. I approve every Sunday school worker. I approve every choir member. I approve everybody that does anything around here because I'm accountable to God for that. And there are sometimes I'll say, they're not ready for that. They're too busy already. I don't think they ought to do that. Not because they can't, but they're already too busy. Everybody doing all right? Let's see here. Oh, years ago, I approved a list of songs that we would sing for congregationals. Every once in a while, Brother Anthony will say, Preacher, this one's not on the list. Could you or would you approve it? Every special that's done, every choir special, every extra special, whatever, all those pieces of music, I read through every one of them, make sure they're doctrinally correct, make sure the year that it was written, make sure that it's right, approve it. I have no idea when they're going to be sung. It could be 5 years from now. I have no idea, but I approved it. It's got my signature on it. Everybody doing okay? It doesn't mean I go through all the music deciding what we're going to sing. God, by the way, that's kind of how God runs the world. He doesn't control everything. He wants to approve things, but when people mess up, guess what? We fix the problem. Not if, when. God never promised to never let us face problems. God never said you would never have another problem. God never said you would never have a heartache. God never said you'd never have to face mourning and death. God never said you would never have to face pain. God knows when you fall out of a tree, because the tree stand breaks, you're going to face some pain. Amen? God never said that he would ever keep us from all of those kinds of troubles that come. But God did say, for the Lord God will help me. For the Lord God will help me. Guess what? When you need help, why is it we go to God last? He said, come to me first, I'll help you. There's times people are struggling, and I don't force my way on anybody. But there's days I want to say, just come sit in my office. I could help you fix this. But I don't go to him and say that. I say, well, I'm here if you need me. Because I'm not going to force my way. Everybody doing okay? How many times is God saying, pick me, I can help you. And yet he's usually the last one picked. How does God say that he will help us? I want to take a few minutes tonight and talk to you about this. If he's not going to prevent the difficulty, and if he's not going to deliver you from the difficulty, how then will he help us? By the way, sometimes we need to quit asking for God to take the problem away and ask for his help to get through the problem. Some of you are disappointed because you're asking for the wrong thing. I hate to tell you, I don't ask God to take the problems away. I just ask him for the strength to get through them. Let me help you tonight. I want you to learn how to get help from God. Now, first of all, I want you to notice, God says that he'll help us speak appropriately while we are hurting, heartbroken, and depressed. Look at Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word. What's the next two words? In season. To him that is weary. Huh. Everybody look at me. Just because you have the answer doesn't mean people need to hear the whole thing right away. Notice the word in season. How many of you have ever gone to the doctor, you've been sick, and they give you a bottle of medicine or a bottle of pills? All right? The doctor doesn't say go home and take the whole bottle and you'll be okay. Matter of fact, if you took the whole bottle, you're going to be sicker or die. Then how come we think we've got to unload everything that's up here, out here, when somebody's not well and think we helped them? You unload your brain with your big fat tongue to people that are sick, weary, hurting, depressed, you're going to do more damage than good. They need it a spoonful at a time, not the bottle all at once. There is wisdom in giving people step-by-step instruction than just dumping the whole truck right down their throat. Some of you have the right answers. You just give way too much of it too soon, and people can't handle it, and you choke them out. Parents, be careful. You're 30, 40 years old, and you have children. They don't know what you know. Don't unload the whole truck on them. Give them the next step. Some can handle two steps, but most of them can't handle any more than one or two steps. You've got them so far out here, they don't even know what you're talking about. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. It's going to get warm in here. We need help with our tongue when people are hurting so that we don't react like an animal. Did you ever come up to a hurting animal? Man, they'll snarl, they'll growl, they'll snap at you. Men, you go deer hunting, did you ever walk up to a deer that wasn't quite dead? Man, they'll kick at you, they'll rip. It gets real exciting. I'd shot a buck one time, and he wasn't quite dead. I went to grab a hold of his head, and I couldn't hold the knife in one hand, his head and his horns in the other hand, and I'd get killed. Say, what'd you do? And I was bow hunting, didn't have a gun with me. I just had to wait for him to bleed out a little bit till he was weaker. As soon as he bled down a little bit, I was able to jump on him and take care of business. But you go to grab a hold of that thing, and he starts flipping you around, don't hold on to that thing. He had too much life left in him, amen? Now, listen to me very carefully here. Be careful when you're hurting that you don't lash out in pain. Everybody listen to me. Everybody look at me. When somebody's hurting and you want to help them, sometimes they're going to react in ways you didn't think they would react because they're hurting. Don't take it personal. Every once in a while, my wife would go to help me with my foot when we were doing something. I'd go, ooh! Yeah. She'd say, try that again. I'll squeeze it harder next time. No. But she'd say, oh, I'm sorry. I'd say, it's fine. I try very hard not to react in pain. I remember my first kidney stone. I thought I was dying. Then they wanted to catheterize me. No pain meds, no nothing, just whoop. I'd been suffering 4 hours with a kidney stone, and they want to do that. They didn't tell me that thing was a garden hose with a knitting needle. Now, wait a minute. I don't remember what I said. But when I got out of the drugs-induced coma that they put me in later, I looked at my wife and said, what did I say? She said, you just kept saying, oh, God, help me, Jesus. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. I said, is that all I said? She said, yes. I said, good. Because that's not what I was thinking. I wanted to make sure I controlled my tongue. You say, why? Honest to God, cross my heart, and hope Brother Anthony dies. Not more than 4 days later, I was in the same emergency room with somebody in the church that had been in a car accident, and this tiny little nurse that had done the procedure looked at me and said, oh, Pastor Bush, how are you? I said, I'm fine. The person in our church said, you know her? I said, yeah, they know more about me than they should. That's all I'm going to say. She just started chuckling. Now, wait a minute. After it was over, she said, by the way, Pastor, I'd never heard anybody react to what you went through the way you did. She said, it's amazing that you were able to control yourself. Most people can't control their emotions and their mouth under that kind of pain. I thought, lady, I wanted to punch you out. I didn't say that to her. Men, when your wife's hurting, she might cower. Be careful. Don't dump the whole load on at one time. Back off and give a little bit of room. When somebody's hurting, they might snap. They might cower up and hide a little bit. Okay, but get them back step by step. You're feeling fine right now. Wait till you're not feeling good. You're going to act like a big giant baby. Notice it said learned people. These are people that are knowledgeable, people that know what to do. Isn't it amazing that even doctors, to a certain point, don't tell you the whole thing all up front? Because if you knew it all up front, you don't want to go through it. In due season, the appropriate time, the appropriate way, with the appropriate amount. You go out deer hunting in West Virginia with your rifle this week, you're not in due season. You can go out with your bow, but if you go out with the gun, you're going to be in trouble with the DNR. And you should be. Okay? Everybody doing okay? I believe in following the rules for everything. But may I say something? I'm for killing the deer. But let's do it in due season. Now, if you're Brother Steve and you got special tags, due season is 365, amen? Yeah, buddy. And as long as you got the permits for it, it's legal, it's due season. But in general, you got to follow the season. Why is it then when people are hurting that we don't give them due season? When people are depressed, we don't give them due season. By the way, depressed doesn't mean you should sit there and crawl up in bed and do nothing. You need to listen to somebody and get off your blessed do nothing and get your eyes off yourself, get out there and get feeling better. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to get in trouble, but I don't give a flip. This is why social media is destroying people, because they have a platform to express themselves when they ought to keep their mouth shut. More people are being slandered online about things that aren't even true. Hello? Because everybody gets to express their opinion. We've lost people in this church because people online run their fat mouth about things they don't know anything about. That's a fact. I can take you to good families that aren't even in church right now over that. About things that aren't even true. Just a bunch of bitter people out there that want to blame everybody else for their problems. And I happen to be one of those people they're blaming. And they want to blame me for all their problems in life. And what they're saying is a filthy, fat lie. Everybody doing okay? But they have a platform called social media. And everybody, because they see it, thinks it's true. And people start believing this mess. Social media is full of this. When people come to church and say, can I meet you somewhere and let's talk about the preacher about this? Well, I want to tell you something I know about the preacher. Do me a favor. Don't go to that meeting. Come see me. I'll show up at the meeting for you. Everybody's real good behind closed doors, but they don't want to talk to you face to face. Sitting in church corners, by the way, that's why I don't believe in church cliques. You got something to say, say it to us all. It'll be all right. By the way, that's why I don't think you ought to hash out all your problems at home in front of your kids. Kids don't need to know what adult problems are yet. Kids don't need to know what married problems are yet. Keep your fat mouth shut till it's just two of you. I don't care which side that goes to. We are so unwise in what we talk about and where we talk about it. Talking bad about your boss to other employees is not helping where you work. Well, these dummies, well, they must have been not so dumb if they hired you. Maybe they are. You were the one dumb enough to take the job. I'll never forget, before I ever took my first job, my dad said, you can get any job you want. You complain about the wages, you ought to get fired. He said, you're the dummy that agreed to it. You don't like the wages, go somewhere else and get a better one, or work hard enough to get a raise. He said, I never want to hear you complain about your wages. And I never did. One time I said, Dad, I think I could make more. He said, then go find more money, but don't talk bad about it. By the way, I found out I could make a whole lot more money, but I'd had to drive all the way into Chicago. It was only going to be for about 6 months, and it wasn't ethical. So I stayed where I was at, made less money, and isn't it amazing? 35 years later, the man I worked for gave this church over $165,000. I guess God paid it back with interest, amen? Maybe if we, by the way, just talked to him this week, and he said, as soon as you're ready to raise money for your next building, let me know. Give me a call. I wonder, had I changed jobs, what could God have done with that? Huh? Number two. So number one, God helps us speak appropriately while we're hurting and to hurting people and to brokenhearted people. Number two, God helps us hear better when we're hurting. Look at verse number five. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. And I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Everybody look at me. Do you know when you're hurting and you're heartbroken and you're down, you're discouraged, you feel like you're all alone, you really don't want to hear some things? God said if we'll get spiritual, his help will help us hear things the right way. I'm going to say a few things here. We need to be careful not to read into what we think we hear when people talk to us when we're hurting. Well, I wonder why that person's talking to me. I bet you they want this from me. Senior citizens, I love you. Be careful not reading into what everybody says. Not everybody has a bad motive. Now, when they call you on the phone saying they represent something and they need your money, tell them to take a long hike off a short pier. But I'm talking about good people. They don't want to hurt you. Don't believe the scams. I understand that. But I'm talking about good people that want to help you. Don't try to read into, well, I wonder if they're trying to get Dr. Anderson. Oh, God bless him. I love Dr. Russell Anderson the whole time he was alive. He'd come here. He tried to give us money for our church building, and I wouldn't let him do it. I said, Doc, I want you. I don't want your filthy money. I said, I love you. I want you to know you got one friend in this world that doesn't care about your money. I care about you. Everybody doing okay? By the way, God bless that. Just so you know. And he'd say, now, Brother Bush, I could write you a check. I said, you write me a check, I'm going to tear it up. He'd say, you're pretty stubborn. I said, yes, sir. He said, you know how many people get close to me just because I got money? Now, he probably shouldn't have done it, but he started listing preachers. He said, I'm going to be in heaven soon. Beware of these guys. He said, I'm not gossiping. I just want you to beware. They're only close to me because I got money. He said, when I'm gone, watch what they do. Guess what? Doc's been in heaven for a year and a half, 2 years now. I could tell you some stories that he told me, and I know why people have done what they've done in the last year and a half, 2 years. You see, I learned to listen. Be careful not to read into what people are saying when you're down. You all were extremely kind to me while I was on drugs. I didn't try to read into it. Shoot, I couldn't read. I couldn't see straight enough to read. But seriously, you all were very kind to my wife and I, and people wanting to bring food to us and come and do this and do that. And we were fine. I needed time to get through the fog and get back up on my foot. Not feet, but foot. And we've gotten through it. Everything's good. But we didn't read into that like, well, they're trying to horn in. No, it wasn't that I didn't want your help. We were just making it. Honestly, we didn't know what we needed. And it changed from day to day. And it was just one of those things you just work through. Most people have no idea what you're going through. How can you read into it? Well, I have this gift. Well, you're the only one that knows you have it, because just so you know, gifts can be broken too. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us in our hearing. I believe in Holy Spirit-filled preaching, but I also believe in Holy Spirit-filled listening. As I was foggy on drugs, I would look at my wife, and I called Brother Anthony. I said, "Brother Anthony, I'm not spiritually ready to preach Sunday. I need you to preach. This medicine's got me." And I had never been through a major surgery in my whole life, ever. It was the first one ever. It's kind of funny. Tube down the throat, all that kind of stuff. Lady called me. The only effect I had from anesthetic gave me hiccups. I never get hiccups. They touched some nerve down there, and I had hiccups for 2 days. I hate those things. Now, wait a minute. I had to realize I had surgery on Thursday. I was thinking about preaching on Sunday. Well, Percocet every 4 hours, or oxycodone every 4 hours, you don't preach on Sunday. I remember sitting right about where Brother Scott is. "I love you, but I don't remember one thing you said." Yeah, nobody else did either, right? He doesn't even remember what he said. I remember being here, and everybody coming by, "Preacher, preacher, preacher." I remember Mung saying, "Preacher." And she was so upset that my wife had to cut a pair of pants to get over the dressing of the thing, that she wanted to give us money so I could buy more clothes. Bless her heart. I said, "Look, it'd be fine. We're going to get through." Honestly, that's about all I remember. By Monday, I came to work. Wednesday, I came to work. Worked a half day. I told Brother Anthony, "I'm thinking of doing pretty good Wednesday morning." By Wednesday at 11:30, I said, "You better be ready." Matter of fact, earlier in the week, I told him, "I don't think I'm going to preach at all on Wednesday, but I'll try." I said, "This stuff has clouded my mind spiritually so much, I don't think I'm ready to feed the people." By Wednesday, I said, "Nope, you're preaching. I might make it to church, but I'm going to sit out there. I might run the service." Come find out, my stamina was zero. And I worked a half a day and went home and crashed. Now, wait a minute. I refuse to stand here if I don't have the power of God and think clear enough to give it to you. I refuse. That was my choice. But I believe you ought to be the same way about listening. We ought to have the Holy Spirit to hear. Hurt doesn't give a person good judgment. Do you know when you're hurting, you're not listening real well? There was a couple times my wife would say, "Are you listening to me?" "No." "I am now. What was I not doing right?" I was hearing words, but I wasn't listening, amen? We need to listen through God's ears. People in physical pain want to move when sometimes they need to be still. You go to a car scene, car crash, and people are thrice, "No, just be still." People's natural reaction is to get up and move. First thing I wanted to do after I fell out of that tree was get up, but you know, I'm getting up. God wants us to listen His way and not be rebellious. Don't listen with your mind. Listen with God's mind in the Holy Spirit. Number three, I got to hurry here. When we're hurting, God can help us set our face like a flint. Look at verse 7. "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Everybody look at me. When you're going through a hard time, don't make major decisions. Set your face like a flint not to make major decisions. Too many people lose their job. Too many people go through a heartache, and the first thing they do is go do something foolish. I knew a guy one time, he lost his job. He left where he worked, stopped at a car dealership, turned his car in, and bought a brand new car. I said, "Dude, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I lost my job. I got to make myself appear like I'm not failing." I said, well, you're dumber than I thought you were. Because now how are you going to make a payment? He said, well, I got a couple months before I got to make a payment. I'll figure it out. By the way, messed everything up. Lost his marriage. I mean, just being stupid. Too many people, well, I lost my job. I got to move. No, you got to get a job. I watch people all the time. They get hurt and they want to do something foolish. Somebody dies. So what do? They get a little bit of money and they spend it all. And then they're in debt and they don't know how to take care of what they had. And they really didn't need what they bought money for. Some of the stupidest things you see. They go out and buy a car and put in memory of so-and-so. Folks, there's better things to spend your money on than that. I'm not saying don't buy a car, but come on now. The word set is a very interesting word. Therefore shall I not be confounded, therefore have I set my face like a flint. You know what the word set means? Disguise. It means fake it till you make it. I'm going to tell you something. The first time I preached after I broke my heel, I really didn't feel like preaching. But I wanted to show you that I was strong enough to do it. Say, preacher, were you in pain? You better know it hurt. There's a couple times I banged my foot. I wanted to roll on the floor and cry. I didn't. I didn't even cry when Brother Aaron saw me do it. Say why? I didn't want to have him see me cry. Be a man. No. sorry, that's all I could think of. I set my face like a flint to be able to get through this. I remember what I preached when I first came back from missing three services from the surgery. I hit this pulpit on Sunday morning and I hit it strong. You needed to know the preacher was okay and everything's going to be all right. I heard people say, man, preacher, you really let her fly. Yeah, I hadn't preached in three services. I was a caged lion. God says, you got to fake it till you make it. You okay? Yep. I remember Aaron, you okay, preacher? No, but I'll get there. I wasn't about to sit there and roll over and die. There's too much life left to go. We have to sometimes put on a face that we don't want to put on. Set your face like a flint. God says, don't walk around, oh, I'm just going through so much problems. Oh, it's so bad. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'll go eat worms. Too many people walk around like Eeyore. Good grief. You look at them and say, you know, there are some people in life I don't say, how are you? Because I don't want to know. There are some people, they could be going through the worst problems in the world. How are you? Everything's going all right, preacher. Man, I love those kind of people. We're not to be like the Pharisees. Oh, I'm fasting. I've been 3 days with no food. You pray for me as I fast. That's the way a lot of people have faced their problems. Oh, woe is me. I want everybody to know. They call everybody to pray for them. Yeah, they just seek in pity. Amen. God will help you wash your face, dry your eyes, pick up your countenance and smile no matter how bad the attack. You know how many times I've walked out here under attack. Say, what'd you do? Took a deep breath. Said, okay, here we go. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. I didn't feel like it. I came to encourage you. While you got encouraged, I got encouraged. And on we go. God never promised the problem would go away. But he promised to help you disguise how bad you were hurting so that you could get through it, so that you could listen better, so that you could speak better while under pressure. Why don't you turn to Isaiah 53, just a few pages over, and I'll finish. Isaiah 53 is a prophetical chapter. It talks about Jesus at Calvary. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. By the way, that man, he was plain. He wasn't this pretty long-haired maggot weirdo that was lighting the loafers. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off in the land of the living. With the transgression of my people he was stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet, watch this, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It took that pleasing of God to get us right with God and to get our sin forgiven. Yeah. He hath put on him grief. And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days in the pleasure of the Lord, shall prosper in his hand. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't react to problems the way we do? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't cry and pout about it for 33 years while he was here on earth? Well, he came here so I can die. People are going to hate me. Nobody loves me. That's what God's talking about. Let's quit acting like the world and let's start acting like what God wants us to act like. Children of God. You want help? I gave it to you tonight. For the Lord will help me. He's going to help you with your mouth. He's going to help you with your ears. He's going to help you with your attitude. If you'll let him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. How are we doing? Are we dumping the load on everybody? Are we not controlling ourselves in due season? Maybe we need to get ourselves right. You're not alone. He said he'd help you. He would help you.